it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Total Information AM on KMOX. I'm Megan Lynch. A new study reveals that less than half of residents in St. Louis City, especially in North St. Louis, live within walking distance of fresh food, public transit, or green space. Joining me now is Dr. Rodrigo Ruiz, professor of public health at Washington University and the senior investigator on this study of livability. Dr. Ruiz, thank you so much for being with me this morning.
Thank you, Megan. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
How should we define livability?
Well, that's a very good question. There are many ways we can define that, but the simplest way for us to define is, you know, living in a place where we have all the conditions and access to features and things that will make your life better. So that's a broad definition, I know, but that includes transportation, access to, you know, healthy food, access to jobs, and, you know, a combination of social and built environment conditions.
So in looking at a city as diverse as St. Louis, how did you measure those factors?
Again, you are very good at questioning. And then, so the way we did this, you know, we divided in two components. One is a spatial component. So we use, you know, built environment features that are accessible through satellite images. We use you know, Google Images and other, you know, GIS or geographic-based information to develop indicators. So that's one way we did that. So we measured the distance, the quantity, and the density of a set of different features. And the other component we did, we actually tracked policies that are informing those features around transportation, access to places, you know, like, you know, healthy food environments, for instance, and public transit and so. So we had a component on policy indicators. So we tracked 32 different indicators for policies and also indicators for spatial access and spatial conditions.
Let's start out with the positive. What does St. Louis do well?
Well, that's a very, very important point. Now, we want St. Louisians to think there are many assets and features in the city that we have that work towards our advantage, you know, for living conditions. So we are above the median for other compared to other cities for walkability. We have great access compared to other cities to green spaces. So in terms of parks and walkability, we're doing much better than many cities. This is part of an international project. We have cities across the globe, and we compare St. Louis with other cities. So compared to other cities, we are doing well in terms of those aspects.
I thought it was really interesting when it comes to, for example, the public policies that St. Louis has in place. We're not necessarily doing too bad. It's just that we lack some targets or ways to measure this. Is that a pretty easy fix?
Well, it is somehow easy. So you made a very good point, and I'm glad you highlighted that. So among the 32 indicators, we actually have most of the policy, for most indicators, we have policies in place. So it's not an absence of policies. We have those, but it's actually the quality of those policies to inform changes. I'll give you one example, then I can finalize and answer your question. So we have policies for streets. We don't have policies for street connectivity requirements, for instance, but we have policies for park restrictions. But we don't have targets that we should be achieving. We have policies for cycling participation, but we don't have targets for those to be achieved. So we don't need only policies in place. We need those policies to be, you know, looking forward to achieve something that is beneficial for the population, and they can be measured. So that's a somehow easier fix because we have policies in place. We just have to make them a little better.
Dr. Ruiz, are you hopeful when we look at things like, for example, the city looking at zoning rules and wanting to bring some of these things up to date? What kind of conversations need to happen to really put those metrics and targets in place?
Well, the first, one we are doing already, one of the things is providing evidence. So So my role as a professor and scientist is providing the best evidence available. That's not enough. We have to listen to our community to see, you know, among those recommendations, which recommendations are the ones they most need as well. So engaging community, engaging, you know, academia and all stakeholders in places, you know, business owners, the community at large, to consider those recommendations to and maybe prioritize them. So that's an important aspect. So combining the best available evidence, the community requirements and engagements, and stakeholders in the region that will be benefiting from those, I think that's the first starting point. Because we already have, you know, a very good place to start. We are providing a framework for many stakeholders and community members to think about what are the most important needs they can achieve in the immediate future.
When I look at this figure that less than half of the population in St. Louis, especially in some areas of St. Louis, have adequate access to either public transit and or fresh food markets, that's something that seems very critical. So how do city leaders institute changes quickly to try to solve those issues?
Well, quickly is a very, very complicated action to take, but we have to put in motion things, then they can be implemented as fast as possible. The first one is identifying where we need things to be changed. So what we are doing here is identifying areas that need most those aspects. For instance, access to nutrition, to proper healthy foods outlets. So that's the first one. So identify the areas. The second one, defining targets. So what do we want to put in place? And the third one is understanding the social and economic conditions in that area that can be faster changed. I know there are many in St. Louis trying to do this. We are not the only ones. There are many folks, not in academia, but policymakers, community members, many organizations here are trying to do that. So coalescing now will be important. So putting everybody that is doing, working towards that together to really, maximize effort. I think that'll be my first recommendation. We need to coalesce and work together with measurable targets and, with the best evidence available.
Well, the analysis that you've prepared along with your colleagues has been published online in the journal Cities and Health. Dr. Rodrigo Reese, thank you so much for joining us this morning here on KMOX to tell us more about it.
Thank you so much, Megan, and I wish you and all your audience a wonderful Friday.
Oh, you as well. Again, that is Dr. Rodrigo Reese, professor of public health at Washington University and senior investigator on this study of livability.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.